Let's play Name That TV Theme.
Okay.
Da 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 da.
Oh, come on. You're supposed to have called it by now.
It's a taxi.
Taxi. How about this one?
Oh, sure. Is it... is that L.A. Law?
L.A. Law is correct.
Yeah,
ding, 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 ding.
Nice.
Wait, are we doing the show? Well, of course we're doing the show. Is this a thing with the show?
We're always doing the show. It's just what we decide to put out there.
One of my fears with Bob is when we're waiting around to start the show is that you're actually going to use the part that I don't think we're going to use.
Robin, you want to bring up the Leave It to Beaver theme?
You know, I do have a folder here called Themes. Let's just start with Steven's theme.
Whoa, we're going to kick right off.
No reason to punk Steven on this episode of All Songs Considered. Let's just get it out of the way now.
Thank you. Thank you. That's actually one of my picks.
Do you want to hear your theme?
No, but you'll play it anyway.
This doesn't sound like Do You Know the Way to San Jose?
No, I've got a new theme for Bob now.
It's called an illusion, Stephen.
Because the whole show is, in fact,
one
an
gigantic
illusion.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for this. I feel so much better. You know, now that Mr. Hal David is gone, using Do You Know the Way to San Jose really wouldn't have seemed right.
Here's where I put the record scratch, and they go...
From NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. We'll play good songs today. Today's our fall music preview. Stephen Thompson's here.
Wait, are we doing the show now?
Always doing the show. You never know what I'm going to use. Robin Hilton.
Hey, Bob. How are you? Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Oh, my God. And Ann Powers, you're in Alabama. We can't see you.
I am.
But we love you.
I'm here. It's raining, but I'm happy to be in the studio with y'all.
Excellent. So this is our fall music preview. Just before we walked in, I've been scrambling to get the new Neil Young record, Neil Young and Crazy Horse.
See, they didn't even return my
And I did
products.
Not get it. And so, Ann, what do you have?
Thanks for
sharing. So I brought in a guitar, and I'm going to do an imitation of what it would be like if Neil Young did a 1 hour, 27-minute record, two albums worth of a record called Psychedelic Pill. I'll just play a little bit here. Let me just warm up
you
the
You actually got some of this record.
And let's
Excellent.
See what it sounds like.
Thank you.
Oh my God.
This is all of our
first hearings of this record, right?
Wow. Hello, cowgirl in the sand.
He can do that song all he wants.
I will admit, we were sitting here sort of wondering, like, I wonder if he's actually going to sing. Because we're all hearing for the first time, so it's like, oh, did Bob just pick a song that's like 9 minutes of guitar?
It is a 16-minute song, and it features, of course, Billy Talbot, Ralph Molina, and Pancho San Pedro. The album is three vinyl discs is one way to get it, and two CDs, or it's only eight songs. It's 1 hour and 27 minutes.
He's playing in Alabama soon, actually, in Tuscaloosa, and I can't wait to hear him do a 45-minute version of Oh, Susanna.
Well, that's one thing with Neil Young. I mean, when you hear Neil Young has a new record out, you go through this process. Admittedly, at least I do, you think, is this going to be a real Neil Young record?
Right.
Is this going to be a record of, you know, with him and Crazy Horse doing this amazing, you know, this song is 20 minutes long and it's awesome, or is it going to be Neil Young doodling around singing about his electric car, or playing Yankee Doodle Dandy? You know, this sounds like a real Neil Young record.
That's true. That said, the record that came out before this, Americana, that came out this summer, which is the inspiration behind doing this. They got together just to see what would happen. They did all these old folk songs. I loved that record. I thought it was a great record.
Good.
But they went right back in the studio right after that, and
there are a few artists I adore and revere as much as him, but he is hit and miss sometimes, and he's
but
been doing this a long time.
Still well loved.
And this, just with what little I've heard, it sounds like vintage Neil Young.
Sounds great.
Thank you, Neil.
Thank you, Bob, for grabbing that for us.
And thank you, Rick.
Well, I was
thank
listening to
yeah, Rick
the,
didn't return my emails about this record.
I don't let go.
You know, Bob, that's what Robin always says about Bob, is Bob, his bite is very soft, but he never lets go.
He's like a little puppy. He just nips right on you. You barely notice he's there.
But he's just hanging off your arm the entire time, and the harder you shake.
I've known poodles like that.
Yeah? That's Bob.
Who are you calling a poodle? Robin, what do you got?
Well, actually, the guitars in that reminded me of the guitars on this next song. This is by a band called Graveyard. Graveyard! They're a Swedish metal band that Lars Gotrich here at NPR Music turned me on to. We had them on the show last year when they released a full-length record called Hissingen Blues, and they are already back with another full-length record. It's called Lights Out, and I want to play the cut The Suits, The Law, and The Uniforms.
Standing at the base of the pyramid, but it's never gonna meet the end. You're not supposed to know that it exists when nothing's out of nothing to delight. If you leave your place, seal the foundation, see the castle's made of sand. Watch it fall.
Table, Robin, come down and talk.
Love the grooves,
man.
The riffs, nice dirty metal band. They've got it, I think.
Well produced,
yeah.
Too.
This is Graveyard.
This is the album's Lights Out. Comes out November 6th from Graveyard. This band's from Sweden, man. They have it going on. If you see pictures of them, they all got this long, stringy, straight hair. They look like vintage mid 70s Black Sabbath era rockers.
I recently saw a documentary about Rick Springfield, and
that's the first thing I thought of.
He played this festival in Sweden, and all of the audience looked like that. It was crazy.
Wow. Graveyard, check him out.
Take us somewhere completely different, Ann.
Well, how about Oakland, California, to visit one of my favorite people in hip-hop, Boots Riley of The Coup.
Ooh, yeah.
The Coup have a great new record coming out this fall, and it's called Sorry to Bother You. So we're going to hear a track called Strange Arithmetic that combines Boots Riley's incredible politically aware and hilarious rapping with some funky, funky sounds of a full-on band. Here we go, The Coup.
Taught me some strange arithmetic. Using swords, prison bars, and pistol grips. English is the art of bombing towns while assuring that you really only bless the ground. Science is the honor book. Beautiful study where you contort the molecules and then you make that money. In mathematics, dead children don't get at it, but they count the cost of bullets coming out the automatic. And I'm teaching my hands up. Please don't make me a bitch. This system, teach my hands up. Please don't make me a victim. Teach, stand up. Tell us how to flip this system. God. Economics is a symphony of hunger and theft. Mortar shells often echo out the cashing of checks. In geography classes, borders, mountains, and rivers, but they will never show the line between the takers and givers. Algebra is that unique occasion in which a school can say that there should be a balanced equation. And then statistics is the tool of the complicit, cause everybody's with it, and you're the only critic, and I'm teaching my hands up.
Thanks, man, that's fun.
Well, you know, it is the first anniversary of Occupy Wall Street today as we're recording this, and Boots Riley's very involved in the Occupy movement, but I'm so glad he took some time out from politics to make another fantastic record by The Coup.
The fingers wanted more, so the fader went up. Stephen Thompson, we're doing our fall music preview. What is in store for us?
First, you know, Ann Powers and I, we actually,
went to the mat.
Yeah, yeah. I was not expecting fists until Ann started wailing on me.
Virtual fist fighting.
And yet, I managed to trick her into giving it up, Brer Rabbit style.
You are so smooth, man. I have to say, I was like, wow, okay, sure. I thank you for taking my song.
You left me a tiny opening. The pick is the first full length album in 10 years from a singer named Cody Chestnut. Now, in 2002 was like the year of Cody Chestnut. He put out this record called The Headphone Masterpiece, just to let you know that, you know, it was not exactly what you'd call a soft launch. not the most humble of debuts. This amazing, you know, two-disc record, you know, just all over the map, incredibly audacious, really beautiful soul music. And he landed on a lot of people's radar with a song on the Roots album from the same year, Phrenology. He did this song called, there's a song on that record called The Seed 2.0 that has Cody Chestnut singing beautifully, and then the Roots are rapping interspersed with his singing. And then he's kind of disappeared.
He's living in Florida with his family.
Yeah, you know, as one does. And finally, on October 30th, he's putting out his first record, first full-length album in 10 years. It's called Landing on 100. It is fantastic. The song we're going to play from it is called Till I Met Thee.
Yeah, honey. Do, 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 do. full and whole. Whoa, oh, 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 I was a dead man. I was a dead man. I was asleep, knocked out for a minute. I was a stranger in a foreign land. Oh, till I met thee, Lord. And I wanna say it again, say, I was a dead man. I was asleep. Lord knows I was a stranger in.
I want to hear that on an AM radio. Can I just like broadcast it to my little AM radio?
A lot of head bopping going on in here.
It's just a
you gotta wear your. Just gotta say, Bob, if you're gonna listen to the AM, you gotta rock your like fantastic pink zoot suit while you're wearing it.
See, and you're not actually in the studio with us.
Oh, he's rocking the zoot suit.
Yeah, this is old news over here.
Very pink. Know,
there's actually an article in the Post today. The disappearance of the zoot suit in DC because all these old clothing stores from all over the city are sort of going out of business as the people get older. And
you can
older.
Bring them back, Bob. You're on the vanguard of this sort
not
of
sure
thing.
Not sure if they go with my hat, but let me work on that. We actually are picking good songs.
We're actually
what's
good.
Going on?
I don't know.
It's just this, but that's just a beautiful, beautiful production.
Yeah.
Speaking of what's going on, he is Cody Chestnut is a fussy performer, and I don't mean that like colicky, but you know, there's such a perfectionism. Yeah, there's such meticulousness and perfectionism to what he does. And it just comes through in every note.
You hear a song like that and you think it's been 10 years. You had that in you and you've waited 10 years to get this?
No.
I mean, that's just amazing to
Never
me.
Robin, go away again.
It's a very long album, so there's a lot there.
I'm ready.
It's called Landing on 100 and it comes out October 30th. Cody Chestnut.
I'm going to do a record by a fellow who goes by the name of Lord Huron. It's a first record by a fellow whose real name is Ben Schneider. He's an LA-based musician these days from Michigan. It taps that vein that Fleet Foxes have done so well. Really good, strong pop music, good songs, and good harmonies. He did it as a solo project. Now it's a band. The record is called Lonesome Dreams, comes out October 9th. And the song we'll play is called Brother.
Brother, brother, brother. It's all right.
We'll try and put all full versions of all these songs up online on the All Songs Considered website.
I love that. That's gorgeous.
It's very pretty, but also very percussive. They have a real, there's a real kind of roiling quality to what they're doing that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Cool.
Very nice.
Lord Huron. Sorry. Like the lake,
Huron.
Which he used to play guitar around. So
there's something in the harmonies or the instrumentation there that immediately made me think of this next artist I want to play, Dana Falconberry. She is my favorite new discovery of recent months. She's a very quirky singer-songwriter from Oakland, California. And I had read that she says she found inspiration for this new record she has coming out. She found inspiration in everything from the stories of Willa Cather to the vampire film Let the Right One In. And I thought, that's ridiculous. But then you listen to her music, and it's appropriate because it's a little precious and sweet and pastoral, but also kind of creepy.
Have you seen Let the Right One In?
I have.
Is beyond creepy.
Yeah, it's a great film. Her record, Dana Falconberry's record, is called Leela Now, and the song I want to play is the opening cut called Birch Bark.
While the wind did withdraw my secrets on a birch bark stream. Oh, and how the rain did fall. Under the eyes of a moonless sky, I scrawled until my pen ran dry. Oh, and how the rain did fall. Branches danced in the windows, I folded up my painful clothes.
Sound like something from the Wizard of Oz or something like that.
Yeah, I certainly was thinking childhood.
Yeah.
Some rhyme that you would sing with your friends.
It was sort of a creepy
fairy tale. People used to do that, actually. They used to sing rhymes and things.
Oh, the Wizard of Oz, it makes me think of the poppy fields, you know. It's definitely got a little bit of that opiate quality
as
well.
Yeah, nice. I love how she layers her vocals on that track, and the strings there are all performed by the Tosca String Quartet out of Austin, Texas. We have another song from hers on our blog right now, the All Songs Considered blog, called Crooked River. But the record's called Leela Now, and it is out.
How do you spell that? I'm not sure I'm understanding what it is.
It is L-E-E-L-A-N-A-U. Leela Now.
It sounds nice. I have no idea what that is or means.
I thought it was a Futurama reference at first. I was confused.
The song's Birch Bark. The record's out October 9th. Dana Falconberry.
We're going around the room, and the room now goes to Alabama from Washington, D.C. What do you got, Ann?
Well, I like where we are in the poppy fields with the mist descending and some strange vision in the distance. And I'd like us to stay in that kind of mood. So I'm going to bring in something from the new Flying Lotus record, which... Flying Lotus, the electronic experimental music producer from Los Angeles, his name is Stephen Ellison. Did you guys know he's related to the Coltrane family?
Yeah, he's in like a nephew
he's
or something.
Alice Coltrane's nephew or something like that?
Yeah, and you can increasingly hear that, I think, on his music. The new record's called Until the Quiet Comes. It's out the 2nd of October, and this came to me in a download that was all one
in a dream.
Track. And I actually think that's the way it should always be played, because it really is an experience. It's a little dark, it's very trippy, it relates to jazz fusion and the Coltrane family and people like Pharoah Sanders, but it's also beautifully futuristic. So let's hear a track on this record. It's called Putty Boy Strut. Thank you.
I've listened to a bunch of this.
I have to pick something to follow this.
You do. The Flying Lotus. A lot of it was more background than this. That you cannot ignore. It's like a child nagging at your ear.
in a good way for those of you.
Like, it's like those little creatures in Despicable Me, if you saw that movie. Like marching around the room.
Yeah, actually not convinced in a good way, frankly.
Really?
Exactly. Yeah, that I like the tones in that. I couldn't put that on. I could not have that on in my house.
I just find his sound so incredibly three-dimensional in ways where, I mean, I really only listen to him through headphones just because...
The way to do it.
Do you really, want anyone else to know that you're listening to?
No,
I'm just kidding. That was a joke to Steven, not a Flying Lotus. I like Flying Lotus and I like the music and I like other stuff on this record, but that moment...
I can't tell you, though, how many times I've been busted listening to Rihanna because it bleeds through my headphones.
But before we get on Flying Lotus, we should mention that a lot of... That is actually an atypical track, and... Tom York is featured on this record. Erykah Badu is on the record. Flying Lotus's protege, Thundercat. A couple other vocalists. Much of it's very lush and beautiful. It's not all little yellow people walking around the room carrying you off to trip land, you know, like that was. But I like that too.
Yeah, it does sound like little people carrying me off to a trip land.
I think the Despicable Me comparison works well.
Where are you going to go after that, Mr. Thompson?
Well, I'm just going to fall flat on my face and pick an artist who will clearly never again release another electronic project, Ben Gibbard.
Don't say it.
So yeah, Ben Gibbard, the singer from Death Cab for Cutie, is, for those of you who don't know, is making a solo record, has made a solo record, coming out October 16th. It's called Former Lives. And... it's a little bit of a mixed bag. I mean, he's clearly not terribly accustomed to working as a solo artist. To me, the very, very clear standout track on this record is an amazing song. It's a duet with Amy Mann, who also has a new record out called Charmer that just came out and missed the cut for this show by virtue of already being out. The song is called Bigger Than Love.
Bigger than love, brighter than all the stars combined. It's dwarfing the sun and burning within my heart and mind. I live with my memories, the bustling fervor of New York. We're on 59th Street. We quarreled and broke the bathroom door, 'cause you were just
think her dourness and his sweetness go together in a really wonderful way. And I mean, I would listen to an entire record of Ben Gibbard and Amy Mann singing together.
That's a great idea.
And
they should do that.
Yeah. They really should. And I love the way this particular song is. It paints a very specific picture of a very messy love story. And I love songs like that. Bigger Than Love, Benjamin Gibbard on his forthcoming album, Former Lives.
They actually built it as Benjamin Gibbard.
Yeah, he's
right?
Benjamin Gibbard now. I think it's because he's important.
You mentioned the Amy Mann record. I think that's her best record in a long time, too. Charmer. It's really excellent.
I like that record a lot.
I don't know how I'm going to follow that. I guess there's only one way I can follow that.
Oh, I know where you're going.
And that's with the record I've been holding in my grubby little hand since the beginning of summer and haven't been able to talk about until now. And that is the new...
I took Robin's mic out. That's one of the cruelest things I've ever done. Okay, go.
And that record is... Crickets. And that record is a new solo record by Jason Lytle.
Oh, yes.
For it could only be Jason Lytle. Wait, because it wasn't...
Well, the woman from Hillary from the record label comes to the office because she's here with like a Tiny Desk concert. Robin is out sick. She comes up to me and she says, I have something for Robin Hilton. And it's like handwritten. It's just months and months. She's like, now don't tell anybody about this. And I thought about just breaking it in half and then leaving it on your desk.
So you monster. You horrible monster.
Or tweeting, listening to...
Boy, this is so good. Oh, man, I left it at home.
So Jason Lytle, yes, he's got a new record coming out on October 16th. Quick background for people who don't know him. I love him a lot and talk about him all the time. He's the lead guy in Granddaddy. That band broke up in 2006, and since then he's done one other solo record in 2009 called Yours Truly, The Commuter. 2010, he paired up with Early Mart and did a record under the name Admiral Radley. And Early Mart, I plan on talking about them a little bit later too. But now Lytle is coming back with his second solo record. It's called The Department of Disappearance, and I want to play the title cut.
Good fall.
It is. You know, Jason Lytle doesn't stray very far from his comfort zone with his music. You can always tell his songs right off from the bat, and I'm totally fine with that. I think he maybe uses synths a little more aggressively on this record than other ones, but the song sounds really evil, The Department of Disappearance, but it's actually really beautiful. He says that he's come to realize that his songs don't really have deep political meanings, or, you know, they're not protest songs. Mm-hmm. They don't get into big global issues. He creates these little moments for people to disappear into. And so he is the department, and his songs are the department of disappearance, and I love to disappear into his music.
That's some good criticism, Robin. Yeah. Nice job.
Well, just trying to get ahead. This record is out October 16th. Buy it, love it, Jason Lytle.
Nice.
You know, that was so articulate, Robin, and I'm sitting here because I've got my own Jason Lytle that I've picked, and
oh, this is your definitely.
I'm just gonna barrel ahead. I'm gonna skip right over Ann Powers.
I have my own Jason Lytle.
Oh, we're going to you next then, after Steven.
So this is our round of Jason Lytles. My Jason Lytle is named Sarah Cahoon, and while Robin is crafting this thought out, you know, explication of his love of Jason Lytle, I'm sitting here trying to figure out how to pronounce an emoticon heart. Sarah Cahoon is a singer-songwriter raised in Colorado, now based in Seattle, used to be a drummer. She's put out 3 records, all of which are like hugs in album form. I find her voice just incredibly comfortable. Like, she just makes the most comfortable music. Anyway, both the album and the song we're going to play are called Deer Creek Canyon.
I lied.
Oh, thanks, Robin. It's too bad I can't control when you're playing.
He opens his heart to you guys.
That's the perfect time to do it, is when he's completely opened up, the most sensitive moment.
Here's a little piece of my soul.
Yeah, and then
I'm just done with protecting you from the bullies, Robin Hilton. No way.
I know, I'm terrible. Let's play it.
Get you in the summer, by fall I always want you back. Oh, mountains are red and the rocks falling down, and I know you're right, should just take a little time.
Comfort music.
Yeah, totally.
That is just lovely. I do like that, Stephen.
She's the hammock.
Yeah, she's the one I describe as hammock music. Yeah, or comfort music.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful.
Thank you.
Rainy day music.
Love.
It's good she's in Seattle now.
Love her. Sarah Cahoon, Deer Creek Canyon, out September 25th.
So who is your Lytle Cahoon?
So my Lytle Cahoon is Martha Wainwright.
Sure.
Martha Wainwright, my favorite Wainwright. I love all the Wainwrights, all the McGarrigles, the esteemed family. Really, I think I saw Martha Wainwright's first performance ever at the Bottom Line in New York. I love all of her records. Her last record was one of my top records of 2008, and now she has this really the emotional intensity of this new record. It's blows me away. It's called Come Home to Mama. She made it in between the time when her first child was born and her mother passed away. And it is just deep, beautiful, but also playful, intense self-exploration produced by Yuka Honda from Chiba Mato with lots of cool New Yorkie people on it. And we're going to hear a track that is called Everything Wrong, and it's about being a parent, and I know we've all had this experience, and it's about how you feel. You're just completely out of control. It's a fantastic song.
Are we in record? Do you know?
Tell my kid, you listen to every word I say.
Well, you're just not as emotionally evolved as Martha Wainwright, apparently.
And I totally agree with you. I think out of all of that whole family, and they're all of them are amazing, her voice out of all of them just slays me.
It's
absolutely
amazing.
Kills me. Yeah.
Well, can we please, world, make Martha Wainwright more famous? She's so incredible, and I feel she never has gotten that audience she deserves. So I'm hoping this record, which is a great mix of the pop of the last record, which had the great title, I Know You're Married, But I Have Feelings Too, and the rawness of her first record, this is a great marriage of the two, and I really hope it reaches that audience that she so deserves.
Beautifully said.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. Her self-titled record, I sobbed through that record every night.
There is no greater honor.
The golden tears of Robin Hilton shed for Martha Wainwright.
Let's
you know, I can think of no better way to transition out of painful divorce than into the Mountain Goats.
Yes.
A band whose last record soundtracked my painful divorce.
Oh, my God.
Love?
John Daniel happily married, though. He's still happily married, now a dad himself.
So. Yes, and the Mountain Goats. Every year, John Darnielle puts out another record that has a song on it that just blows me away. And this new record coming out October 2nd is no exception. Bob and I have been arguing all day over what to play on this record because we have different tastes. Tastes in Mountain Goats songs. They're all wonderful. The record is called Transcendental Youth, and the song we're going to play is Harlem Roulette.
Thank you. are good dreams if you're doing it right. Remember soaring higher than the clouds. Get pretty sentimental now and then. The loneliest people in the whole wide world are the ones you're never going to see again.
You know, I read somewhere that John Darnielle has written more than 600 songs. And my immediate reaction was, that's it?
The lyrics on this record, though, are really, I mean, he's just gets better. That's the thing. Practice makes perfect, I guess.
He's very seriously, without exaggeration, one of the greatest living songwriters, in my opinion. One of the greatest living lyricists.
And the cool thing that I think for him, I was always wanting his music to just expand a little more. He did this project with Anonymous Four that I saw in New York with the four medieval female singers with arrangements by Owen Pallett. Mm-hmm. And my God, what a great thing. I was hoping for some of that on this new record by Mountain Goats. But
I'm guessing that John Darnielle, he's going to make another record.
You're going way out.
Could happen.
So that was Harlem Roulette from the album Transcendental Youth, and it's out October 2nd.
Awesome. I'm going to go way out too, but in a really different way. This is the music of Philip Glass is music that influences so much of electronic music. It did in the day in the 60s and 70s, and it continues to. This is his 75th birthday, and during all this year, there's all this stuff happening. One of the things is Philip Glass became friends with Beck, an unlikely pair in my mind, I guess when you think about it and start thinking about arranging and so forth, Beck has it. But right at the front of it, I thought, that's weird. Well, Beck had this idea, and the two of them had this idea, to have people remix the music of Philip Glass. And this may be the way a whole generation of people hear Philip Glass, because I don't think he's, at least his music's just not out there in the vocabulary of pop music, though he is an undercurrent. I'm going to play a cut by Ty Braxton. It's my second tie of the show.
Nice.
Right? Oh, Ty Siegel and Ty Braxton.
It's a tie.
It's a tie.
Oh, yes! Up top.
We'll see ya.
And Ty Braxton, people might know from Battles, but he's also doing some...
Anthony Braxton's son.
Anthony Braxton's great son.
See, and I know him because he used to sell ads for The Onion.
And where does Tony Braxton figure into this?
Tony Braxton.
Never mind.
So he and Ty Braxton and Philip Glass are going to perform this at Altamar's Parties on the 21st of September. Let's give a listen to this. It's a double record coming out of Philip Glass remixes with, well, I'll tell you some of the artists in a minute. Let's listen to Rubric. The record includes not only a mix from Beck, Amon Tobin, Dan Deacon. Just seems like an absolutely fascinating record to take Philip Glass's music and do this.
You know, Beck has been also collaborated recently with Dwight Yoakam, of all people. He's really expanding his friendship circle.
Nice.
I think he is just living the dream, not to get off on Beck, but I mean, he's just as an artist.
Although his next record's going to be sheet music, right?
Which is pretty cool.
That's brilliant.
My friend Jody
too.
Rosen. I think it's pretty cool that he's doing sheet music. I mean, there's a kind of a trend toward looking back to the early 20th century, and I think it makes a lot of sense in a way. McSweeney's is putting it out, I believe.
Of course.
I've noticed a lot of resurgent interest in early 20th century music. Now, maybe this is just resurgent interest in my office, because I've gotten really fascinated with it. But as you know, I spent some time in New Orleans in June and fell in love with that whole tradition. And there's a lot of people down there doing blues from the 1920s and that kind of stuff. And that leads into my last choice, which is by Preservation Hall Jazz Band, the great New Orleans institution, a place to see music, a home for the New Orleans musical tradition. It's their 50th anniversary right now, actually. And on September 25th, they're releasing a huge box set of cuts from throughout Preservation Hall's long career, and also this fantastic live album. And the live album is called St. Peter and 57th Street, features lots of guests, including, and I brought this in especially because I knew all of you guys would love this, Merrill Garbus, our friend from Tune Yards.
With the Preservation Hall?
With Preservation Hall and the veteran trombonist Frank DeMond performing the great blues classic Careless Love. And this is a side of Merrill Garbus heard before.
Right.
So awesome. Let's listen.
Do it.
Atop the Triangle Towers, Merrill Garbus in her band.
Shaking the fringe, feeling that shimmy in there.
I like that.
That
song's, that's good.
It's over 100 years old. That song is about 100 years old, but Merrill really injects some new life into it, I think.
This is it, the end of summer. Everybody have a good summer? Is this a great summer?
This was actually one of the worst summers I've ever had.
What are you talking?
Then take us out, Robin.
I've thrown my back out three times.
Oh,
I fell down a flight of stairs like an idiot.
Well, technically you were thrown.
And turned Steven. My ankle so it's still limping on it. This has been a horrible summer for me as for feeling my age.
Well, I'm younger than Robin, so it was a pretty good summer for me.
Wait, didn't you just have a very significant turning the big...
I turned 40 this summer.
Wow. Congratulations.
One foot in the grave, the other on a banana peel.
And we've had the All Songs Considered tour, going around and bringing our show and a listening party all over. So I've never been to Seattle or Portland, and we're up in Newport. We're in Chicago. We're in
Brooklyn
and Manhattan. I went down to Austin. I've had a great summer. Robin, you got something for the end of summer?
I was thinking that Preservation Hall Jazz Band cut sounded like summer to me. And this song it could be called The End of Summer. The song is actually called Internet Summer. Maybe it's more my summer since I was inside on the internet all summer long by myself while Bob was out going to shows with the air conditioner cranked.
You're like that kid who breaks his arm like on June 1st.
I totally was. But this Internet Summer, it's a song by a band called Early Mart. I mentioned Early Mart earlier in the show. They're a band closely related to Jason Lytle.
Who you mentioned earlier.
Who I also... Did I mention him? They did the Admiral Radley CD with Jason Lytle in 2010. And anyway, Early Mart is back with a new record. It's their first Early Mart record in 4 years. It's called System Preferences. Out October 16th. And this song is called Internet Summer. Good night, everybody. It's been a great show. Great summer. Loved having you.
See you next season.
Bye, Cleveland.
I don't know why I always say goodnight, Cleveland. Yeah, it just feels like the right town.
It's Spinal Tappy enough.
Yeah. I tell you what, let's wrap this up. How my parents, right. My parents still think that even if we talk over instant messenger or chat, that it's like costing them long distance. So they end every call with, "Well, I think we've talked long enough." They don't want to rack the bill up.
My system for booting someone off the phone is to say, "Okay, love you."
I'm going to use that right now. Steven, love you.
Love you, Bob.
Love you, Ann.
Love you guys.
Hey.
Love you, Robin.
Yeah, love you too, man.
Spoon. Errol Lamart. From NPR Music, it's All Songs Considered. Spoon you?